with BookBeat. I'm Don Swaim. In the 20th century, Americans began receiving their news in a way never before experienced.
That is the voice of Sputnik 1, announcing the start of the space age.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body.
Broadcast news. Its history is told by Edward Bliss, author of Now the News. Bliss says that as early as 1916, Lee DeForest, inventor of the vacuum tube, broadcast election returns.
He had an experimental station up near High Bridge, and he got hold of the returns from the New York Times.
While there's some dispute, it appears that KDKA meets the standard for the first commercial station.
They were the first licensed by the government under the system that exists today. But in Detroit, there was a station. I forget exactly. I think it was 8MK or something like that, which also broadcast those returns.
Abe Schechter, head of news at NBC, became a kind of one-man news bureau in the 1930s. Bliss says that when a story broke, Schechter would call around, get a quote, and pass it on to NBC's top newscaster, Lowell Thomas.
Thomas was so famous that anybody Abe Schechter called and said, I'm calling for Lowell Thomas, he got the information.
Broadcast news had to invent itself and came of age by the late 30s and early 40s. The story of broadcast journalism is told by Edward Bliss in Now the News, published by the Columbia University Press. Don Swaim, News Radio 88. Broadcast news had to invent itself and came of age by the late 30s and early 40s. The story of broadcast journalism is told by Edward Bliss in Now the News, published by the Columbia University Press. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
It's burst into flames. Get this started. It's crashing terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please.
The crash of the Hindenburg, one of broadcasting's key moments.
All the humanity and all the passengers screaming around here.
Broadcast journalism's story is told in Now the News by Edward Bliss, former longtime writer and editor at CBS and professor emeritus at American University. Bliss says it was Edward Klauber, right-hand man to CBS founder William Paley, who recognized that rival NBC had all but locked up the major entertainers of the 1930s.
He was the one, I think, that convinced Paley, let's go the news route.
Then virtually untried and untested, except for big-name commentators such as H.V. Kaltenborn.
Good evening, everybody. I have come to Washington to see the start of the new Congress tomorrow.
But radio news began to come of age at the start of World War II.
The Munich crisis. People, to use the cliche, were glued to their sets, really, during those 18 days that H.V. Kaltenborn was on the air.
And CBS Radio's Edward R. Murrow, then a program executive, began organizing a European news team whose members became household names.
One of the strangest sounds one can hear in London these days, or rather these dark nights, just the sound of footsteps walking along the street.
Broadcast journalism changed the way the world gets its news, and the story is told by Edward Bliss in Now the News, published by the Columbia University Press. Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Edward Bliss joined CBS News in 1943 as a writer and editor, and later worked with the legendary newscaster Edward R. Murrow. The late CBS News producer Jesse Zausmer gave Bliss some advice.
He said, always carry a package of Camel cigarettes because Ed may run out, and don't give him any adjectives.
For 5 years, Edward Bliss carried Camel cigarettes and matches in case Murrow ran out, and Bliss tried not to include adjectives in Murrow's newscast.
He thought, and he was right, that the strength of a sentence lay in its nouns and its verbs, and if you use the right verb and the right noun, it created pictures that were stronger than you would get by embellishing with adjectives.
In the 1950s, Senator Joseph McCarthy burst on the scene and launched a terrifying witch hunt.
Cheap politicians from coast to coast join the chorus of the communist daily worker and shout, oh, isn't this McCarthyism an awful thing?
McCarthy was countered by Edward R. Murrow in a classic CBS TV broadcast.
The actions of the junior senator from Wisconsin have caused alarm and dismay amongst our allies abroad.
When McCarthy died, Murrow told Bliss just to include the facts in the obituary, cause of death, age, and survivors.
Even then, he received mail and telephone calls accusing him of dancing on McCarthy's grave.
Edward Bliss writes about Murrow and the other on-the-air pioneers in A Definitive History of Broadcast Journalism. Now the news, published by the Columbia University Press. Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. While CBS dominated the early days of broadcast news, the other networks also had teams of correspondents. Edward Bliss, author of Now the News, cites the work of NBC's Fred Bait during World War II.
This is London at about 23 minutes past 1 o'clock. Fred Bait speaking. London is now having its 25th successive night raid.
But few newsmen of the time equaled Edward R. Murrow of CBS.
Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against the steel blue sky.
Edward Bliss worked with Edward R. Murrow for many years.
He was very easy to get along with if you could just forget that he was the number one man in his field.
Bliss left CBS to take a teaching job.
I went to teach at American University and discovered they had no history of broadcast journalism, and I was teaching broadcast journalism. I thought it would be a wonderful thing if there was a story of broadcast journalism that they would have.
When Edward Bliss retired from teaching, he started writing the story of broadcast news and tracked down the surviving pioneers.
Leo Rosenberg, who broadcast the results of the Cox-Harding election in 1920, was still alive when I was researching this.
The Columbia University Press published a terrific history of broadcast journalism. Now the news by Edward Bliss. Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Edward Bliss served with CBS News for many years before retiring to teach and then to write A Definitive History of Broadcast Journalism. Now the news.
President Roosevelt says that the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor in Hawaii from the air.
A date which will live in infamy.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
Bob Trout reporting. The Japanese have accepted our terms fully.
It's one small step for man.
White House Press Secretary Malcolm Kilduff has just announced that President Kennedy died at approximately 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, which is about 35 minutes ago.
Edward Bliss says broadcasting has changed over the years.
Broadcasting has become a profit center. It wasn't a profit center 30, 40 years ago. It was something that a station did because it gave them prestige, it enhanced their image in the community.
Bliss says there are larger audiences now, but
more and more sports, more and more gossipy type items, more and more divorces, more and more murders.
And an emphasis on live reporting, such as we saw during the war against Iraq.
If this was war live, and that had never been done on television before.
As for the future of broadcast news, Bliss predicts there'll be more of it, bigger screens, better sound. Read Edward Bliss's Now the News, published by the Columbia University Press. Don Swaim, News Radio 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.